In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As he was praying on the high mountain top, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. Two men were talking to him, Moses and Elijah, speaking about his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. A cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud, Peter, James, and John. And the voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Transfiguration Day is a wonderful day. It's one of the high days in the church year. Today is the culmination of the season of Epiphany, which is all about light. Light for the whole world in Jesus Christ. Now, there are four main events in Epiphany. It began January 6th with the star and the magi coming to the Christ child, the Gentile nations bringing their gifts. The glory of Christ in that bright light. Then it included the baptism of our Lord, when Jesus, as he's being baptized and the Spirit comes down as a dove, hears that same voice we hear today saying, as he is baptized, "This is my chosen one, my beloved Son. Listen to him," showing his glory. The third event of Epiphany is Jesus' first miracle at Cana, changing water to wine, by which he showed his glory to his disciples. And today is the culmination of Epiphany. Jesus on the high mountain, shining like the sun, his deity shining through his humanity, as Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of Jesus in his glory, and even get a glimpse of the Old Testament church, Moses and Elijah. The reason why this event is so astounding is, do you realize what's happening here? On this mountain, you have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament, and the fulfillment, Christ. You have Moses, through whom God gave us the law, and Elijah, representing all of the prophets. And you have Christ, the light of the world, the fulfillment of all of God's promises. And you have the beginning of the New Testament church with the apostles Peter, James, and John. And are all there in one place, as the glory of the Lord shines through the cloud. Did you know that there's many references to the Transfiguration in both the Old and the New Testament? And we get glimpses of it everywhere. We know that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, Moses' face shone like the sun. He put a veil over his face. The people were afraid because when his face shone, after having been in the presence of the Lord face to face, the glory of the Lord was reflected from Moses' face. And Moses, as you heard this morning, was buried at Mount Nebo by God. No one knows where his burial place is. And now we see that Moses is in heaven with the Lord and now appears on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then there's Elijah. Remember Elijah? As he was walking along with Elisha, suddenly Elijah went into the whirlwind and the chariots of fire and was carried into heaven. And so now Elijah is present in heaven and present at this Mount of Transfiguration. In the psalm this morning, Psalm 99, "Worship the Lord at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. He's enthroned upon the cherubim." King David is giving us a glimpse in Psalm 99 of the Transfiguration. Recall Daniel when he sees the Ancient of Days at his seat. His clothing was white as snow. His hair was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, like a burning fire, God shining in glory. In Daniel 10, he sees a man clothed in linen, which was Jesus. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. And in the New Testament, both John and Peter refer to this event in other places in the New Testament. Remember John, who was at this mountain, said in John chapter 1, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. The glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." From fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. No one has ever seen God, the only Son. No one has ever seen God, the only God. But that one who is at the Father's side, that is Jesus, has made him known. John is referring partly to that glory that he saw on that mountain of transfiguration. And Peter is even clearer about it in 2 Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths. We made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven. We were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Then in Revelation, John would later get another glimpse of something very similar to this Mount of Transfiguration when he sees Jesus, the Son of Man, standing there with the hairs of his head white like wool. His eyes were like flames of fire. I fell at his feet as a dead man, but he laid his hand on me and said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The reason I read those to begin with this morning is for you to see the context in which this glory appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration. God had been preparing his people through all history for this great event. And the reason why the church moves from today, the Mount of Transfiguration, to Ash Wednesday on Wednesday, is because God wanted us to get a glimpse of Jesus' glory first. Jesus would be encouraged by Moses and Elijah because his cross was soon coming. The significance of this event and why we should listen to Jesus today is because we see his deity shining through his humanity in this event. We see the true identity of Christ and why it is we should listen to him. We get a glimpse of his glory as we are about to enter the penitential season and the 40 days of Lent. So briefly, let us consider these three aspects of this event. His face and his clothing as bright as lightning. Secondly, his conversation with Moses and Elijah. And thirdly, his Father's voice from the cloud. "This is my beloved Son." First, his face and his clothing, bright as lightning. Jesus is true man, and he's about to show us that he's also true God. Jesus' name, Yeshua, is the same as Joshua. Jesus would be that new Joshua to lead us to the promised land. With Peter, James, and John representing the New Testament church, three of the 12 apostles, he is on a high mountain to pray, possibly Mount Hermon in Lebanon or Mount Tabor. And as he is praying, because he's in the presence of God the Father, something amazing happens. All the Gospels record this event. His face is altered. In fact, some places it says his face was shining like the sun. His clothes became so dazzling white, no bleach could make them this white, and it was flashing like lightning. This astounding event is showing his deity shining through his humanity, through his flesh. What an amazing place to see how Jesus is both God and man at the same time. And the wonder of the union of the two natures of Christ, we see both his divinity and his humanity in his face and his clothes, bright as lightning. This is one we must listen to. Secondly, we have a conversation going on with Moses and Elijah. We see here, as I explained in the beginning, the Old Testament church there on that mountain in glory. Two men, Moses, who represents the law, through whom God gave the Ten Commandments. The only prophet in the Old Testament who spoke to God face to face was Moses. Every time he went into the tabernacle and God spoke to him face to face, when he came out, his face reflected that light and he would put a veil over his face. The Lord, the great I Am, chose Moses, a humble man, through whom he would give the Ten Commandments and with whom he would speak face to face. And though Moses could not go into the promised land and God buried him, now we meet him again in heaven speaking to Jesus on the mountain. And then, as I said before, there's Elijah. Elijah didn't die. He was carried directly into heaven in the chariots of fire. He was an example of all these faithful prophets. Everywhere Elijah faithfully preached the word, he was constantly persecuted by Ahab and all those who opposed God. So God removed him from this veil of tears after his faithful work and brought him into heaven. And now he, representing all the prophets, is present with Jesus on the mount. They are speaking to Jesus about his departure. And the word is actually Exodus. Moses took them through the Exodus across the Red Sea into the desert so Joshua could lead him into the promised land. Jesus is about to make an exodus from this life. And did you know what Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus about? They were speaking about Holy Week that was about to happen at Jerusalem. They were talking to him about his Palm Sunday entrance with the palm branches and hosannas, his cleansing of the temple, his being betrayed and denied by Peter and Judas, his giving of the Lord's Supper to us, the new Passover, his death upon the cross and his burial and his glorious resurrection. The law and the prophets foretold all of these events. And so now he's about to make the exodus through death into everlasting life, bearing our sins. And Moses and Elijah knew all about this. And they're encouraging Jesus in this task he's about to undertake. Now Peter and the others are in a deep sleep. And then when they awake and they see Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus in glory, they're terrified. Now, Peter, always the one to speak up, what does he want to do? He wants to make three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You've got to admire Peter. He seems to always be confused, but he sure has guts. The reason for tents was that when they celebrated the festival of booths out in the wilderness, once a year they'd erect little tents to remind them of the Exodus. And so all this is coming back to Peter, but in confusion, he wants to prolong this event, and he wants to put some tents up and prolong this event, which of course was not to be. Here we see that Jesus was indeed fulfilling all the promises of the law and the prophets. Hundreds of messianic prophecies are fulfilled in Christ, and Moses and Elijah know all about this. We read today that Jesus, as the apostle and high priest of our confession, is much greater than Moses. Moses was part of the house, yes, but Jesus is the Son over the house, God the Father's Son. Moses served this Lord Jesus Christ. If Moses and Elijah speak to him, and if Peter, James, and John listen to him, we too must listen to Jesus. And then most importantly of all, the third thing, is the Father's voice from the cloud. The cloud came over them. The cloud was the Shekinah of God's presence. When the Lord would come to the tabernacle and the tent in the wilderness, a bright cloud would come upon the tabernacle, meaning it was time for Moses to go in and speak with the Lord. Whenever there's a bright cloud, God's holy presence is there. This bright cloud overshadows them in brilliance. And Peter, James, and John are in terror because of the brightness of God's holiness in which they are dwelling. Then comes the voice from the cloud, which is just like Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. This is my Son. God the Father is saying, this is my begotten Son who has been my Son in eternity. My chosen one, that is Christ Jesus, has been anointed, chosen by the Father. Listen to him. Meaning, if you want to hear God, you must hear his Son. He who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. If we want to hear the voice of God, we must hear the voice of Jesus. Once the voice spoke and the cloud disappeared, then Jesus was there alone. That's a little detail, but that's very profound. Moses and Elijah return to heaven. The glory of God returns. And there, who do we see? Jesus alone, in his human flesh. This is why in the church we preach Christ crucified alone. People should come to church and see Jesus every Sunday. Today, the Mount of Transfiguration, and then when we complete the whole time of Lent, at the Mount of Calvary. Why must we see Jesus alone? He alone is our righteousness. He alone is our justification. Only in him, by his blood, are we declared innocent. We hear the Father's voice. We must listen to Jesus alone. So, my friends, we're about to enter into Lent. Like Peter, James, and John, we have been on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that glorified Lord is about to give us here in the sacrament his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus would have to go through suffering, crucifixion, burial, and then his glorious resurrection and ascension at Jerusalem. Let us heed the voice of the Father. This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. That Jesus is revealed in Holy Scriptures, and we listen to him alone. As a postscript, did you get that detail that Jesus told the disciples to tell no one about this event yet? In fact, they were not to tell anyone about the transfiguration till after the resurrection, because the cross was yet to come. Thus, we move from Epiphany into Lent. We don't jump immediately from Epiphany and transfiguration to Easter. We must experience Lent and Holy Week like Christ did. His 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, which we speak about next Sunday. His suffering and death during Holy Week. First was the cross, then came the glory. May we ever in our lives block out the world, rejoice in the glory of Christ, and see him alone. Every day, let us listen to the voice of the Father. Listen to Jesus alone. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.